This is Wright Brennan with C. Wright Roofing, and today we are having another episode of Lost in the Midlands. I'm here with the man himself, Clark McCarthy. He is a teacher, he's been a coach, a competitor, and he is the market director at Crawl Space Medic. Clark, thanks for hanging out, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun being here with another home improvement professional. We get to hang out all the time now that you're in B&I, so that's pretty cool. And we actually grew up together here in Columbia.
Absolutely.
So maybe we could talk a little bit about that. We won't jump too much into our history. But, all right, so tell me about, were you born here or from?
Yeah, born and raised in Columbia. And then, yeah, like you said, we out from elementary through high school. So we've known each other a long time and both went to college and found our way into the home services industry.
It's funny how you wind up in these different positions.
Yeah.
And in school, you were a great athlete. You were a soccer competitor, weren't you?
I don't know about great athlete. I was, yes, soccer was a big part of me, and left when I graduated Flora and went to Lander University and played soccer there for 4 years and really enjoyed it. And it's been a big part of my life prior to joining Crawl Space Medic. Was a, like you said, a teacher for 6 years at Dreher High School, and then left there and was actually the women's assistant coach at USC. And just really cool experiences, especially at that level,
won
three SEC titles and got players playing in professional leagues and national teams. So you
see
those guys and girls go out and do these things that they've, been passionate about all their life. So it's fun.
Tell me a little bit about your experience as a teacher, because I want to know is how, because I imagine there's got to be some overlap here, being a coach on the field and then also being in the classroom. You're kind of like molding, know, people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities to, coming from the education coaching world into this. It's really all the same thing, right? It's just about you're still dealing with people, a team. You're coaching them up. You're educating them. We're all pushing each other to, essentially go win championships, right? That championship just may look like a different thing. May not be a trophy, but it might be a certain goal we have this year.
Yeah.
But education, something I am still passionate about, was really passionate about, after my first year of college, I just had a calling to want to do that.
Awesome.
Being involved in people's lives, really kind of, it just motivates me. It's an energizer. And I knew one way to do that was to kind of get into that physical education world and to be a coach. And loved it. It certainly has its challenges. There was some bad days mixed in there, I'm not gonna lie.
Public school,
your
kids,
but it's trying to just get them to see what you're trying to pour into them, and sometimes it's harder with some than others, but at the end of the day, you're just trying to love them and grow them as people. And that was 8 to 10 hours of your day of just pouring into other people's lives, and then trying to stay energized to go home and do the same for your family. So it can be draining on some days, for sure.
Yeah. It takes a special type of person to be successful in that, and you obviously were, so kudos to you, my man.
I appreciate it.
We had some cool PE teachers and coaches coming along. When you got into the position, was it kind of what you had thought, just seeing those previous people, or were you like, oh man, I really put those guys through the ringer back in the day?
It was kind of reap what you sow, right? And you're like, well, I know what they were dealing with on a daily basis, right? On top of all the planning that you have to do, the grading, and then, each of us really has a sport season where you're wide open 100 miles an hour. So you're there, early in the morning getting through your teacher portion, and then you're on a field from 4 to 9 or 10 at night pouring into those kids.
Man, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, you got a newfound respect for it, and certainly, I look back and – and the cool thing was, a lot of those same PE teachers we had, I got to work alongside. And I remember going into the first, PD meetings and things like that, and they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, man, here I am. They're like, oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
So it's the same with the players and the kids that you teach. I still see see some of them out in the community when you're at the grocery store. And yeah. as soon as you hear coach, you know, you're turning around.
Oh,
and, you know, and they come up to you and the, you don't realize it in the moment when you're just there, but, you know, it's really cool to see where they're at, or, hey, I'm married now. Hey, I'm in med school. And, you know, hey, I really want to thank you for, you know, what you did for us and the time that you put in. And you just, again, it's hard to see it when you're right there, you know, in the weeds of it every day. So that's pretty rewarding when you get to hear those and see these kids that you've, like I said, spent a lot of time with.
Yeah, that is really cool. Yeah, seeing the fruits of your hard labor, like, oh yeah, right where I wanted you to be, my man.
Yeah, or, you know, they come and say, you know, man, I remember you used to harp on this all the time, and
it turned out you were right.
I learned the hard way, yeah. you know, in my freshman year in college, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's just experience, right? They don't have it, and we were the same way. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, like, yeah, I'm 16 and. You know, going through all these changes, and I know everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and when they say those things, you're like, uh-huh, I told you so. So it's the same as parenting. So deal with it at home, too, with my 10- and 8-year-old. You know, it's like, listen to what I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about.
You're getting some real leadership perspectives in your life. You've seen it from lots of different angles, and including going into collegiate sports. Mm-hmm. And so what was kind of like the difference between the high school kids and the college kids as far as like, I guess trying to lead them in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, at the level, you know, being at Carolina, you're obviously a, you know, massive school in the SEC. And, you know, the talent there is remarkable.
Yeah.
These are kids that have been doing this all their life. I mean, they play in high-level leagues. They're playing in tournaments all throughout the year. And they're just very driven.
Yeah.
It goes through ebbs and flows because, you know, freshman year, it's like anything, right? You get into business and people tell you, like, this is going to be hard. And you're like, okay. You know, freshman year for them is the same thing. It's they're coming into this environment with 21, 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man. You know, and it usually takes them that first semester to really kind of settle in. But, you know, you're just managing, you know, expectations, attitudes, you know, you're trying to, you know, culture is a big word. I think it's just kind of thrown around out there now and people go and do all these motivational talks on it. And culture is not really anything I don't think you can explain, right? It's about what you do and what you're about and how you live it out.
Yeah.
And Shelly and Jamie were really big on that. I learned a lot from that, and a lot of what I've learned there, as well as when I was a teacher at Dreher, is I apply those same principles today. You know, like one we used to use at Carolina all the time was no BCD. Don't blame, complain, defend, right? It's never fixed a problem, never will.
Yeah.
And we used to harp on that because it's easy. Right? We all do it. It's
easy
to complain about something or defend yourself or blame someone else.
Yeah.
And we use that in our teams at, you know, crawl space. You know, not wanting to be in the mountain of average. We want to be pushing over here to be excellent in everything we do. And that's not easy, right? Because we're all carrying something in the door.
Yes, right. Mm.
To the workday. And everybody's got things going on in their life. But it's just, again, trying to create that, and it's how you live it out every day. It's how you lead by example.
Yep.
And so that's been the really cool part, because when I left coaching, it was hard for me to find something that really kind of lined up with it. And I feel like the service side, tradesman type industry is very similar. You've got a playbook. Here's what we do. Here's how we do it. Here's how we can get better.
Yep.
Hey, you might have taken a loss over here. How can we avoid that moving forward?
Right.
And you're trying to implement those same principles with your team, right?
Yeah.
So that's the fun part. That's where I get to coach, you know, within our unit. Pretty cool.
You guys are doing team building. I mean, you got to have small teams out there getting the work done, teach them what a win is.
Yeah.
And this is a good win.
Yeah,
and this
that's right.
is an okay win.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's cool. All right. Well, all right. So the kids that are coming in, just to go back to, because I was just thinking about this, that are joining the team at the time, they go from being, you know, excellent athletes and probably world class, And then is the transition once they join, like now they're just one of like 30 that are kind of on the same level. Is that kind of the jump that they're making?
Yeah, there's, you know, and you've obviously, it's like anything, you know, you've got a group and they're all solid. Like you said, yeah, they're coming in amazing athletes, amazing soccer players. And then you have a few that are just on a whole nother level, right? And everybody knows it, and every team's going to have that.
Yeah.
But it's learning my role, especially as a young 18-year-old, of how am I going to kind of implement myself into this team,
yeah,
work hard, keep my head down, and listen and watch and learn and be humble. And that's not always easy, especially for extremely competitive people. And now with, you know, transfer portals and things like that, it's you hear a lot of, well, I wasn't happy, you know, wasn't playing, and that kind of irks me. I got out right around the time all that stuff was coming into play.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm pretty old school in my thinking. It's like you know, if you make a commitment, unless there's something horribly wrong, right? Like you're being mistreated, or
yeah,
like those are one thing, but it takes work.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a grit there that you need. And the kids that do that, and you start to see them get to their sophomore, junior year, and they're starting to get on the field more and impact the game, and that's where you're like, that's cool. You've developed, you know, from maturity, from physical to skill to speed of play. You know, that's really cool. You do have some that can come in right away, you know, and again, they're just those types of people. You know, like Savannah McCaskill was just an incredible player.
Yeah.
And she was, I mean, she could just change a game.
This is Wright Brennan, the owner of C. Wright Roofing. When it comes to the maintenance of your roof, you want to know that you have an experienced team that knows what they're doing. And with 10 years in the business, we check all the boxes. Leaky roof, storm damage, or just overdue on maintenance, give us a call at 803-828-4181 for a free estimate. Again, that's 803-828-4181. And remember, our commitment is to roof it the right way.
Seconds, and everyone was like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah.
It's like Steph Curry. I like, you shoot all day, man, because you're probably going to make it.
Yeah. They're playing people, and you see it in business too, where people are just kind of playing at a different level.
Yeah.
Like, they just operating on their own special realm.
Yeah.
And, then that's really cool. Yeah, and I can see how that – has made a big impact at each step of your, you know, the whole leadership thing. Really, it kind of moves from everywhere you go.
Yeah,
you can take that with you.
Yes,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, what I've learned there is, I mean, it's invaluable. I mean, I bring it with me every day, and I'm thankful for that, for sure. In the business world,
yeah. Yeah. All right, speaking of the business world at Crawl Space Medic, I've been to y'all's shop. It's super impressive, man.
Yeah. Well, so, you got to come to the new one. We moved.
That's right. Yeah. I've heard and I've met a lot of the guys that are part of the kind of family team y'all have. Do you want to explain real quick kind of what the family of the whole thing looks like? Or?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll be as quick as I can. So Evan Wilson kind of birthed this idea of Crawl Space Medic around 2011 when he was doing home renovations and kept getting reports back on crawl space issues.
Yeah.
There really wasn't anything at that time that addressed it.
Yeah.
And so he tried some things out and it worked. And then he would get a phone call, hey, can you come do this in my crawl space? So light bulb went off, and Evan's a very bright guy, very entrepreneurial, and was like, man, there's something here that we could go serve people with.
Yeah.
And so he came up with this, you know, Crawl Space Medic. And John Dando, who he'd known, was in campus ministry at the time, and he called John and said, hey, I've got an idea. I want you to come hear me out. And it's funny when you hear them talk about it, because John's like, well, what are we talking about? Evan's like, crawl space stuff. And John's like, okay. And Evan's like, you want to just take it and run with it? And John's like, yeah, if we can make it work, like, and it did. And so John really came in and they put their head down and started cranking, and it started growing in Columbia. And then, you know, people in Greenville were calling, people from Charlotte were calling.
Yeah.
They were running crews out of Columbia
to all these different markets.
And then, you know, they went into those markets. They were corporate markets and knew, hey, this is working. There's obviously something here that we can go and, again, help homeowners out address their crawl space or basements. And so started franchising it out, and now I think there's 21 or 24 really throughout the Southeast. And then with all that, as they were growing there, these other brands that came into play with, you know, Punchless Pros, Dumpster Mule, Sunrise Electric, again, all kind of revolving around home services.
Yeah.
And that kind of rolls up into what is called Home Brands. So Home Brands is kind of the overarching umbrella over all of these home service brands. They're growing and pushing and providing opportunities for people to own businesses, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, it is. People out there can get a playbook to success.
Yeah.
And all from the entrepreneurial idea. I mean, gosh, you saw a soft spot in the market, and man, was that a soft spot, because it's taking off.
Yeah. And it's so cool. I mean, I didn't know anything about crawl space, right?
Yeah. But
being, again, from an education background, a lot of time when we're going in and speaking with people, it's an ignorance thing, right? It's just a lack of knowledge. They don't know. One, they never go down there. They don't even know what it is until they probably go to sell their house.
Oh,
and it's like, hey, you've got, you know, and I'm like, your HVAC system's down there, your plumbing, your electrical, every, you know, your structure. And you get to really coach them and educate them on, like, here's what all this is, and here's why, you know, controlling moisture is important. Here's why, you know, you want to fix these, you know, make these structural repairs, and really shining a light on it to give them the knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. In some ways, a little bit like roofing, where none of my homeowner or customers have been up on the roof. Oh, there's a few. Like, I'm sure, like, you got some that are like, yeah, you
I'm
know.
I'm getting on my roof. No chance. So,
but there's probably some customers you've had, like, you didn't expect them to say, oh, yeah, I was crawling up under there, like, last year. You get them every once in a
very
while.
Very rarely. We'll have the one occasional that we've had them follow us on the inspection. Yeah, so which is always entertaining.
Come on in.
I'm like, come on here, get your headlamp, and let's go. You know, follow me. So yeah, it's for sure.
All right, let's talk about it. The services themselves, and when somebody needs to call, what are the red flags that are gonna?
Yeah, so I mean, typically when people call, there's usually already a pain point, right? They've got a smell in the house. Noticing a lot of, you know, moisture in areas, humidity's up in the house, or they'll start to notice any, you know, bounciness in the floor, some sloping, sagging, and that's when they know, all right, something's going on.
Yeah.
And they'll call us. But what I tell people is, especially in Columbia where we are, was hot, humid, just most of the year.
Yep.
Is if you've got a crawl space and you've never had an inspection, you've never been down there, you don't even know that you have, yes, get an inspection.
Deferred maintenance is what's going on.
Exactly. And it's, you know, we go into some and it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just destroyed. I mean, insulation's down on the ground, you know, wood rot, fungal growth, all these things. And it's like, oh boy, you know, and it's like anything. It's like, and I tell people, your crawl space doesn't have a check engine light like our car, right? Your car is going to kind of notify you, hey, something's going on. You go, I got to go to the shop. Your crawl space doesn't have that until you get to those points,
that's
like you
right.
said. And it's like, we got a problem. And usually at that point, like you said, it's compounded over time and it's just gotten worse. So that's generally when people, when they start to notice something's not right, they'll call and inquire about an inspection. So, yeah. But I tell people for sure, if you got one, get it inspected 100%.
You guys are also, I mean, super honest. I was very impressed when you guys did an inspection of my property, because I was expecting, like, big problems. The way that my floors creak and kind of, like, dip a little bit, I'm like, oh, man, we got a big problem. And and I appreciate the way y'all documented everything, because we kind of do the same thing. You know, we'll take pictures. So I'm like, and so this is what we say you have, and guess what? Here's a picture or video of, like, what it was. So that, you know, kind of speaks to the integrity of y'all's business, which you can't grow as or grow as big as you guys have grown without having those pieces in place.
Yeah, that and that's the important. And that we get a lot of feedback on that of the pictures, the videos, and again, that's what we're there to do. And I tell we're not infallible, right? We've missed some things, but I have to remind people we're doing a visual inspection, a free visual inspection.
Yeah,
we're in there in a dark 18-inch crawl space, crawling with a headlamp. and insulation's everywhere.
Rodents.
We try to provide as thorough and a professional inspection as possible, and then go through it with them with those pictures and videos, showing them like, hey, here's where I was. Look at the subfloor here, and oh my gosh, and you're like, yeah. In some cases, you're telling people like, I would recommend not walking right there.
Yeah.
Because they're like, is that bad? I'm like, yeah, your foot might go through the floor. It's that bad. Like, you should probably move your couch.
Be careful.
Those are, not all the time, but there's some where you're like, oof, I would, in people's dens where we've had to move their couch with them to say, sit there.
Yeah.
Because the joists are completely rotted out. It's, you see some crazy stuff.
All right. Would you rather run into a snake, a possum, or a raccoon? Or a cat? Who's the best
run
one?
Run into all of those. Cat, 100%.
You can kind of make
cats
friends.
Cats will still scare you because there was one instance I was in a crawl. I was all the way in the back corner, like furthest away from the door, and I could hear footsteps. Oh, man. And I turn around, you're looking, and all you see is just the eyes, shining back at you. And I was like, what is it? And it ended up being a cat, and I was like, oh. Yes, because possums and other things, they could be territorial. I don't like snakes and possums and raccoons. I've run into all of them. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
Our guys will, they'll grab them and get them out of there most of the time.
My gosh.
I'm getting out and I'm telling the homeowner, hey, by the way,
we need a rodent company.
Call Bubba. Once he gets this out, I will be happy to come back in and finish the inspection, but... Yeah, those...
You guys out there grabbing snakes?
Yeah, first time I ran into a possum, I just crawled under a duct, and I'm sitting in between one duct and another one that's about from me to your desk, and there's nowhere to go. I'm in between it. And as soon as I get in, I look up, and I'm sitting crisscross applesauce, and there's a possum where that is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hissing, and I'm like, oh! And I'm talking to it like it understands me. I'm like, hey, buddy. It's okay. Like, I'm not here to bother you. Literally having a conversation as I'm trying to, back out. And I call one of our guys. He's like, well, hey, man, next time you just grab it by the back of the neck and it'll play dead. It'll play possum. And you just drag it out. I said, oh, is that all you do? As it's hissing with its sharp teeth, I'm like, no. I got out of there.
How many times does that not work,
actually? He's like, nah, man, as soon as you grab it by the back of the neck, it'll play dead. And I'm like, nope, I'm good. So I kindly let the homeowner know. And, of course, they were like, what? Like, yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'd say a cat for sure. Yeah.
Makes sense. All right, what advice would you give to somebody who's interested in getting into the home services game?
Man, one, I think you've got to have a heart for people, and just that service side of things. And some people are bent towards that. Some people aren't. But I think if you've got a heart for serving others and providing a service that helps them and that energizes you, I mean, that's a big piece of it. Learning, I think you got to have some thick skin and grittiness. And I mean, there's ups and downs with it. There's busy seasons, there's slower seasons, there's difficult seasons.
Yeah.
And that could be down to just, it's a slower season for us. Usually the winter time is January with leads and things like that. It just always has been. Hiring, finding good help, bringing people in, that's a challenge. So you've got to have a certain amount of grit. And I think if you're just getting into it, you've got to be willing to go and do it yourself. Are you going to go come in here and you're going to be crawling, doing the inspections? You're probably going to be helping lay the barrier, wrap the walls, install the dehu, getting your hands dirty until you get to a point where, scalability, where you've got enough guys that
team.
Yeah, your production teams, and then a ops manager, and then a salesperson.
Yeah.
And just it's really a long game. I think anybody getting into it, if they think it's going to be a quick, you know. And I used to be this way. I'd drive around, and you were talking about billboards earlier, and it would be like, man, I bet they got it made in the shade. You know? Yeah. Like, man, there are billboards everywhere. Yeah. And then you go and meet with them, and they're like, dude. Yeah. Like, and they have the same struggles as you. It's
Exactly.
It's like, man, it's a long game. If you think you're going to get in and just, you know, become Jeff Bezos or something overnight, it's not. I mean, it's
happening.
You've got to have a long game and be ready to make that long walk and just take a step every day of, like, and just trust the process. That's the biggest thing, is trust the process. You want to get involved with people, too, that you trust.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing. If you can have someone beside you, whether that's a, you know, a husband or a wife or a partner that you know is going to come in and be like, hey, I'm let's go.
Yeah.
That can help. Yeah.
Yeah. That feeds the energy reserves you're kind of talking about. You got to have that reserve. Yeah. And you're talking about how you got to enjoy providing that service and like seeing the satisfaction and like, because if you don't, like if you lose, I've noticed when I start looking away from the satisfied customer or kind of enjoying helping somebody, you know, your energy like will just drop. Like all of a sudden it becomes very kind of transactional, which is not a good way or place to look from.
Yeah.
So I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah. And I think it's easy in our industries, at least it is for me, you know, comparison is a killer. Because you can look at these, you know, like you just mentioned, there's roofers everywhere in Columbia. There's also people that do the same thing we do.
Yeah.
And if you start looking around to the competition and comparing, and you know, you lose sight of that joy.
Yeah.
You lose sight of your team. You lose sight of that, like the final picture packages we get. And, you know, you forget, like, man, you remember what that thing looked like before? It's like, look at this transformation. And, you know, you miss the joy of the homeowner providing a review. It's easy to get sidetracked on things, you know, like I think in a lot of that's probably due to maybe a comparison or, man, I wish I, you know, it's like, no, just keep your eye here. And again, trust that process. Like, here's what we're doing, and we're doing a pretty darn good job.
Yeah.
You know, like, keep it up.
You guys are doing an excellent job. Wise words. Where can someone find you guys? Where do we go to get an inspection done?
Yeah, so you can go online, crawlspacemedic.com, and there's a online kind of submission form that comes directly to us.
You can
put in your information, and it'll allow you to type a summary in of maybe, you know, sometimes people just say, want an inspection, never been there before, or I've got sloping, dipping floors. And then our team will give you guys a call or give them a call, set up an inspection when it works for them, or you can call the number directly, and you'll talk to Jennifer or Lori, and they'll get you set up with a free inspection, and then Jacob or myself will come out and get ready and crawl and let you know what's going on.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Any final message to the viewers out there?
No, man, this has been fun. It's my first podcast.
Hey, you did excellent.
So, this has been fun, man. No, it's, you know, I don't know. You know, service industries are a great industry. Enjoy, you know, watching what you do and just your energy that you bring in to, you know, obviously our B&I group, but just overall, you know, you came out and took a step of faith and started a roofing company, you know.
Home improvement, brother.
Yeah, home improvement. And it's the same thing. I think it's just cool to watch, and we'll just, let's get out there and keep banging and clanging.
I love it. Hey, man, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hey everyone, many thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and click the bell to stay up to date on future episodes, or click the link to watch another previous episode. Also, don't forget to like, share, and please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.